Welcome to My Heart Songs, podcast number 58, Botswana Beckons, part 2. I remember when I was a pre-med student at Fordham University, our biology professor requested that we make a visit to the Bronx Zoo, paying particular attention to the exhibit entitled The Most Dangerous Animal. He actually put it on an exam. It was a simple, small room with a mirror in it. African travel is always challenging, not only because of the limited infrastructure and inherent dangers with wild beasts and unkind, unruly humans, the latter true anywhere, but because of the incredible rich-poor gap that is ever present. My previous multiple journeys to Eritrea and one to Madagascar confronted me with similar social justice dilemmas, and I often returned home to the States completely disgusted by the amount of stuff I had, and my seeming inability to remain satisfied despite incredible physical abundance compared with many places on the planet. A song I heard on the plane on the trip to South Africa captured some of that melancholy. It's Take Me to the Alley by Gregory Porter. Well, they gild their houses in preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, "Take me to the alley. Take me to the afflicted ones. Take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, 'I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon.'" It's easy to visit Africa and remain fairly insulated from the poverty and desperate conditions experienced by so many. We passed many villages during our Botswana travels where people live in mud or concrete block thatched roof huts, cook on wood fires, have no indoor plumbing, no electricity, and often distant water sources. We gave assistance where we could. One of the helpers in camp had an infected foot after getting stitches. I gave him bacitracin, clean bandages, clean socks, and some basic health aid, and it improved quickly. Another camp person was clearly cold at night, so I gave him a new warm long-sleeved shirt. We offered some clothes and art supplies and herbal medicines to the bushmen. But we also spent more on this trip than the average Botswana person would make in years. Yes, we contributed to a green economy and tipped generously, and that is helpful. And yes, this country is doing relatively well compared to many in Africa. And yet, I feel a weight in my heart. The average bridal wealth exchange, bogadi, for a wife is 8 cows, or equivalent cash if you don't have any. So many young people put off marriage for a considerable time, living together or paying off the required sum over many years. Once the arrangement has been created, the woman usually comes to live with the prospective in-laws for a couple of weeks to ensure that she's a very hard worker before any formal ceremony takes place. If she's beautiful and educated, she may command more than 8 cows to seal the deal. A local Setswana proverb suggests that beautiful in this context also refers to inner qualities and strengths and not just outward appearances. There are a number of rituals and procedures that occur between the two families, and although arranged marriage is much less common, there is still the desire to have both sets of relations approve of the joining, and in many cases, the local chief's approval may also be needed. Grandparents often live with their children or in a nearby compound and eat from the same pot. Elderly women relatives have an active role in teaching a young bride and mother about being a good wife and raising children. HIV and marital separation have certainly taken their toll, and over 40% of rural households are now headed by single women. The whole way that marriage unfolds here suggests to me that although physical poverty clearly exists, there is a richness of truly supportive community that often vanishes in developed parts of the globe. Dumela ra, dumela ma is the traditional greeting. People often affirm with eh after someone else has spoken. Lots of respect all around. Even the attitude of our guides was basically, if we respect the animals, they will respect us and not seek to harm us. They call me Papa since I'm an elder, And the whole time in country, I never heard a car horn blare. And truckers on two-lane highways will use their turn signal to indicate it's safe for one to pass them. Gentle, smiling, soft on the outside, but tough on the inside to endure these freezing nights and blistering afternoon heat. The colder the night, the hotter the next day, we are told. No rain since December. We figured we might fit at least 10 traditional huts into our house, probably housing 60 people. So strange to contemplate that the average American has a lifestyle of luxury far beyond the imaginings of a medieval king. So, yes, we are the most dangerous animal, in part because of our incredible survival mechanisms, resilience, curiosity, and innovative intelligence. And we continue to despoil our environment at an astonishing rate, exterminate many species known and yet to be discovered, and to overpopulate beyond any sustainable carrying capacity of our planetary home. And perhaps the most destructive element, our technological prowess far exceeds our psychosocial wisdom. We've forgotten, it seems, how to cooperate and share, elements still prominent and visible in less developed parts of the world. Right in my own backyard, there are ample diverse opportunities for helping others. Africa, with all its incredible beauty and abundant resources, always stirs my social justice pot, asks me if I'm doing enough to make the world a better place, and how I might imagine a future where I live with less and the many without have a bit more. Thanks again for listening, and remember, your friends and family can sign up at myheartsongs.org.